Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your host, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Bettina. How are you?
Hi, everyone. Hi, Eric. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thanks. We just outside just now, and the weather's getting colder, and the fall weather setting in, and there's Halloween decorations up everywhere, and it's we had this beautiful week of weather last week, and I think we might be out.
Yeah, I think so. It's been lovely to have such warm weather.
Oh, it sure has.
But I do, in a way, look forward to that cocooning and sort of hibernation period, which is always a favorite thing of mine anyway. So I'm really hoping to get back to some old hobbies and interests that I've sort of let go since the introduction of the internet into my life. So the colder weather is a good time because it's things like knitting and sewing and my sort of ancient baking things and stuff like that, my sourdough baking and things like that. So, yeah, winter is always a good time for all those creature comforts and those lovely hobbies.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's definitely a shift, and you know, we've talked about on the show too before about like living in a climate where you really do get four seasons here, four distinct seasons. And although fall might be a little bit sandwiched with how late we had beautiful weather for, thank you global warming if that's the cause. And living as north as we do, you know, I don't really see what the big deal is.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we don't live on a coastal city, and we could use the extra few degrees.
Yeah.
At the end of October, but there's definitely a feeling that shifts with the weather, and like you say, you know, like now it's like, oh, I get to look forward to cocooning a little bit, and it's always nice to, and I think it's such a reminder about living life in balance. You know, and sometimes, you know, I was talking about this just even last night in a conversation I was having with somebody about like diminishing returns, you know, like there's nothing better than like that first day of summer. But then after you had like 110 days of summer, you know, you kind of look forward to the fall again. And, you know, it's this big example of little things in our life too. And the example I used yesterday, I was just kind of sharing a little bit about my childhood, and I was like, 9 years old, and my dad always had like a really good stereo downstairs, and he was always picking up speakers and messing around with them and rehooking them up, and yeah, it's just kind of a hobby he had. And he had this little section of the basement where he would have like these sound reverberating beads and beanbag bags and stuff like that, all to enhance the sound. And I used to like Tom Cochran, of all people. Life is a Highway was like my favorite song as a kid.
And, I love that song.
And he actually produced quite a bit of good music that was beyond what got played on the radio. But anyways, I was sitting there, and he had this like leather lazy boy chair, and I got to have my Tom Cochran on, and I was just sitting there, and I was like, oh my God, like this is like just so pleasurable. Like nothing will get better than this. And that was like on the weekend or something like that. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this like every Sunday, you know, I'm going to do this for, like, the next 6 hours. And it was like the first time, like I was introduced to the concept of like impermanence. And then it was like 25 minutes later, like 5 songs later, I was like, I want to go outside and play football. And it's just, it goes from like being like a 10 experience, and it goes from like being this incredible experience to something where he's like, I'd rather do something else. And it's the same thing with the seasons and so on.
Yeah. Well, you're doing it until you're not doing it anymore, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting how we think we want something, And we think it's going to give us something too, right?
Yeah.
And then we realize it's not quite giving us what we thought, and we usually want to move on to the next thing. And I've been noticing way too much. I've spent way too much time on the internet recently, just frittering away my time, and I'm getting really disillusioned with it and really tired of social media. And I don't post a lot, but I do a lot of reading of what other people are posting. And I just feel like I want to have a bit of a break from it and get back to some of the things I really loved doing when I was younger, before the internet existed on such a wide, broad scale. And I think it will help bring me back to being more present, because I think it's very easily to be having a conversation with someone with your phone in your hand and you're not even listening to them because your phone is beeped and you've got to go and see what the beep is about. Nah, it doesn't feel good anymore. I'm not sure it ever felt good, but you do, you know, I have been caught up in it, and it's not nice, you know. Like, I wouldn't want someone to do it to me, and even if it is family. So I'm really looking to drop a lot of that outside influence and just get back to bare bones, old-fashioned communication and stillness and quiet time and working with my hands,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not on a keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's neat too, because, you know, if you do those things, that will take you, it'll also take you back, you know, to a time, and you'll feel some of the emotions you felt back then. And you know, it almost feels fresh again, you know, when you do activities or recreate things that you used to enjoy. And it's just, it feels nice. It also feels like a completeness of like a life well lived, you know, to think back to a time, you know, I think back to that time in that chair, you know, when I'm 8, 9 years old and just like really appreciating music for the first time, just that was the only thing I needed in that moment. And, you know, to maybe even go back and listen to some of those songs again and just remember what it was like to feel it new for the first time. And just, you know, really connect with that part of you that just really enjoyed just being alive and some of the luxuries that, you know, we've been, so many luxuries that we've been afforded in our life, but back at a time when it was like a new thing to experience. And it just feels good. It feels good to remind yourself just about how lucky we are to live now and to live a human life.
Yeah. And you know, back in those days, when you listened to music, that's all you were doing.
Yeah.
You know, you were listening to music. You weren't sitting at your computer with the music as the background and not even really, you're not doing any one particular thing fully. You're doing, you've got yourself divided now between 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 or 6 different things that you're doing at the same time. And I feel like that's, the world is becoming more and more this style of living. And, you know, and that's fine if that's how people want to live. Don't get me wrong. If that's what people like to do. But for me, I'm kind of like, I tried it. It was okay for a while, but I'm really an old fashioned girl, to be honest. I really like, you know, like we've talked about in the summer, I like growing the garden in the summer and putting all the vegetables down and in the winter, I like knitting and sewing and doing all sorts of crafty things and baking and making my winter meals, because I have summer meals and winter meals. And winter meals are more hearty, and they're soups and stews and things that really feel good to eat in the winter. So in that way, I'm old-fashioned, but I have gotten caught up in the distractions of, you know, the shiny internet. It's like a... it's like a shiny, you know, thing in the sun, and you go, it catches your attention, and it's always pulling me back. So
shiny is a good word for it, because Yeah, we feel like compelled, like because we have so much opportunity now. Like I just even look around and, you know, just in my room, you know, like I have like a, you know, a cell phone that's more powerful than all the first computers I had, and I have an I have a new tablet, and I have a laptop, and I have a desktop, and I have a couple PlayStations, you know, sitting idly by the television, that the smart TV, and it's like, you know, it. Because it's so easy and it's so readily available, like it really is shiny. It really pulls you. It's like, oh, like there are times, you know, where you want to have more stimulation, and then you know you get caught up in it, and it only really just kind of passes the time though. Like, you know, it feels like busy. It feels kind of good, but it's kind of empty, you know, and it's not. You know, one of the best books I ever read, and I bring it up on the show often, is this book called Flow, and it was just this author who talked about like what truly is the most pleasurable experience that you can have. Like, is it, you know, it doesn't even matter whether it's like surfing or playing games or conversation or working on a project or, you know, doing something that you think is valuable for the world or raising kids or anything. It doesn't even matter what it is, but what matters is our level of engagement. And it's like an unbroken focus, level of engagement on something that is a moderate challenge that you can just sink your focus into, and 45 minutes goes by in two minutes. And, you know, I know that we often remark at the end of this show just about how that frequently happens for us, you know. And it's like those things are the things that are most valuable. And, you know, just even on this show, if I'm trying to find a piece of information or I'm trying to find a quote I want, you know, to use, or, you know, if I'm writing down some things while you're talking, you know, it all contributes to the content of the show. But what is truly enjoyable for me is just being fully present, you know, with you and having this conversation with, you know, an audience. And the time goes by just so incredibly fast, and it feels so fulfilling. But it would be less fulfilling if I was, you know, while you were talking, or even while I was trying to get a point out, you know, surfing around in my tabs here on my computer, or, you know, if my phone was going off, or I was scrolling down Facebook when I wasn't, you know, being needed in the conversation. Like those things, even though your mind craves it, it's not actually fulfilling. And we have to be able to ask ourselves and discern the difference between, you know, what can occupy the mind and what is actually pleasurable and fulfilling and feels substantive. And I think if you do that, you'll find yourself more gravitating towards those activities that allow you to get into flow. And it's not always easy, because I know myself, if I'm, you know, if I haven't like meditated or I haven't slowed myself down, if I've been sped up by the world around me or by commitments I have or running here and there doing what various things throughout the day, if I don't take the time to slow down, when I just have music on, you know, and just sit on the couch, I feel anxious. I feel like I need to do more than just listen to the music, you know. I would be more happy, or I would be more stimulated if while the music was on, I'd reach for the iPad, or if while the music was on, I would read something. And you just kind of reach, like your mind reaches for it if you haven't slowed yourself down. But when you slow yourself down, and if you were to take like 6 minutes and do a meditation on however you do it, that works best for you. I always know that if I lay down on my bed, lay on my back, you know, put my hands out, you know, and just relax and breathe for 5 minutes, then I feel super content just listening to music after that. And I feel super content just reading a book after that. I don't need to have a cookie and a tea and read a book, you know, and tap my foot and put on some music in the background. You know, one thing becomes enough after I slow myself down. But, you know, we really have to be aware when we get sped up by all the environment and stimulus around us, and really realize that that's actually not the times that we are most happy and fulfilled and like really being present and engaged in our own life.
You know, I find it really interesting that you say, that you mentioned that when you, if you haven't done your meditation, or if you're not really being aware, you sit down to listen to music and you feel that anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I was just watching something on Facebook about how they're teaching children mindfulness in schools, and I think it was in the UK. And how so many kids over the last few years, they're finding so many more kids are stressed and anxious. And I think this kind of lifestyle where we've got some kind of handheld device in our hands from the time we're quite young now, and how parents are giving their kids distraction, like teaching them distraction as opposed to teaching them presence, is I think what's going on. At least that's how I'm observing it. And so that when there isn't more than one thing going on at a time, because I mean, if you look at a lot of people who are parents, they're always busy. They're always on the run. They've always got 16 different things that they are juggling, you know, 16 balls they're juggling in the air at the same time, and they're moving at a fast speed, and they're stressed, and they're anxious. Well, yes, of course their children are going to, you know, take on that same kind of lifestyle, and they're also going to be stressed and anxious. And I think what needs to happen is we need to slow ourselves down. We need to bring ourselves more present. We need to do one thing at a time. Like, there's nothing wrong. It doesn't mean you're a failure. It doesn't mean you're not successful if you're doing one thing at a time. If you turn around and you say to someone, I can't get that project done in 2 days. It's impossible. I have to have balance in my life. I can't get that project done in 2 days, but I can get it done for you in 4 days and probably do a better job because I'm giving it my full attention when I am working on it. If we're trying to do too many things at once, nothing is getting done well. Nothing is ever going to feel fulfilling, as you said. You're not going to get that fulfillment from it because you weren't present to experience, you know, what was happening at the time that you were doing it, because you were, you know, whether you were actually trying to juggle two things at once or whether you were doing one thing and thinking about all the things you have to do when you're done that or what that you should be doing now, you're never really fully experiencing it. And you are going to feel anxious when you have times, if you're in that super, you know, fast forward mode with many, many things on the fire, you are going to feel anxious if you're only focusing on one thing because you've been conditioned. And so it's just about, like you said, you have to slow yourself down. You have to bring your awareness back to the forefront so that you can notice and you can fully experience exactly what it is that you want to do right here and right now. Not what you have to do in an hour when you have to go to work, or not what you have to do tomorrow when you get back to work, but to fully experience the enjoyment of that music right in this moment, or fully experience that meal that you're eating right in this moment, or that conversation right in this moment. And eventually, yes, the anxiety will go away because you will have retrained yourself to be fully present as opposed to in this world, crazy world of distraction.
Yeah. Yeah, and it really is a training. And, you know, I definitely did want to speak to, you know, my own anxiety when it's like, when you get sped up to a certain speed, you know, and then you're like, okay, let's just stop and do one thing. I mean, there is anxiety. You know, everybody thinks anxiety is about, oh, speeding up, but there's an anxiety in slowing down too. You know, by, you know, your body, like, kind of like revving at a speed that's faster than doing one thing at a time. But understanding that, you know, sometimes that's necessary, and that serves you to go at that speed. You know, when there's things to get done, you know, it's not something. It's not a state that, you know, like all questions about asking yourself. In all manners of feelings and emotions and way of going about life, like, where does this serve me and where does it not? You know, and that goes from everything from the experience of anger, you know, where does anger serve me and where does it not? Because it's not something to be disbanded, you know, it can serve you in some situations. Where does generosity serve me and where does generosity not serve me? You know, is somebody not honoring the generosity that we're offering them? You know, can you be being taken advantage of? Are you giving away too much of your power? You know, all these things in life that we're just taught are good or bad. You know, being busy is good. Being, you know, going slow is bad. That's being lazy. You know, we sometimes have taken these things in as early as childhood, and then we just go out and live the rest of our lives never questioning them. You know, and all these things, you know, part of this spirituality and taking time for yourself and really, you know, becoming the decider over your life. And how you want to live, you can really benefit by breaking down pretty much anything in your life and asking it, where does it serve me and where does it not, you know, and where does it serve me to go at this speed and where does it not, you know, and then where does it serve me to go at a much slower speed, you know, when it can in many, many, many ways. And then sometimes it doesn't, you know, when the circumstances calls for it. But really asking ourselves, not just being like, I feel like it's like water skiing, you know, and you just go as fast as the boat goes and you don't have any choice, you know. I'd rather drive the boat and decide where to go than being tugged along with it, you know. And to your point, you know, the most important thing you're doing in your, the most important thing in your life is the thing that you're doing right now, you know, and the most important person in your life is the person who's sitting right in front of you. And just hearing that quote, you know, has helped me recenter myself in the moment time and time and time again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's simple and it really speaks to what we're talking about today is that whole idea of it's always what's in front of you right now. That's the most important thing. And I think we need to learn to do that more because I think, you know, the whole idea that we are not being present with someone, imagine what that is conjuring up in them, what feelings that is bringing up for them in terms of not being important enough or not being interesting or not being supported or, you know, not being heard, whatever might be their sort of point of weakness. It will definitely bring that to the surface for them. And I think knowing that, I don't want to be the trigger of someone's pain. I'd rather be the smile that that gives someone that feeling of warmth and connection, or, you know, that conversation that makes someone feel that they belong or that they are being supported and loved and cared for.
And again, that's a decision too, you know, and once we make that decision, we make it so much easier to pull ourselves back. Of course we're gonna stray, you know, from the things that we want to be and the energy that we want to bring into the world. Of course we're going to stray. Of course we're going to get angry sometimes. And of course we're going to get caught up in the speed of life and maybe even for days or weeks at a time. You know, but if we've had the conversation with ourselves, if we've had the internal dialogue and the introspection, and we know what we want, and we know what kind of energy we want to bring into the world, it makes it so much easier to self-correct, rather than just feeling vaguely frustrated, vaguely unfulfilled. And when we feel vaguely frustrated and vaguely unfulfilled, then we just oftentimes we get seduced by whatever is available outside of ourselves, you know, whether it be by eating or whether it be by watching a whole night of TV or whether it be drugs or alcohol. It's so easy to reach for those things when we don't know where we stand and we don't know where we stand in regards to how we want to live. You know, when we're living in our purpose and our passion and our vision for ourselves, you know, you have no desire for distraction. Because you're doing, you know, something that's more enjoyable than any distraction can provide. You know, like if a distraction can really only provide us, you know, a 7 out of 10, you know, in the first moments of doing it, you know, because that, of course, that, you know, with distraction, the returns on that disintegrate very quickly. But in that first moment, you know, that first beer or that first sip of wine or, you know, the first bite of a snack or the first spoonful of ice cream is always the best. You know, by the time you get to the ninth spoonful of ice cream, you barely care that you're eating it, You know, so all these distractions, and they're all beautiful things about life, and they should all be partaken in, you know, in a healthy way and in a way that serves you, not a way that does not serve you. But, you know, when we're doing the things that we've already decided that we really want to do in this life, you know, those things are always above a seven, and they stay there, you know, much, much, much more long. They're much more reliable, and they stay at that level for much longer than distraction ever can. But if we're living our life, we don't know where we're going. We're being pulled. We're going at the speed of those around us. We don't really have our convictions. We just, you know, are doing, you know, we're getting sucked into the energy of the society or television or advertisements or other people, you know, and we're sitting at a five. Well, then a seven looks great. And a bowl of ice cream looks awesome. You know, going outside for a cigarette, what a great idea that is right now. You know, but if we're living our lives, you know, purposely and at that level of a nine or higher, then you don't even want to take a break for a bowl of ice cream. A bowl of ice cream is a waste of time. It's an obstacle in the way of the next moment, like fully engaged in.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because I mean, I think everybody's experienced that time when they've been so fully immersed in what they're doing that they totally forget to have lunch or dinner, and they don't even feel hungry because they're so immersed in that moment and that project and whatever they're doing in that moment that nothing else. And that's, you know, because a lot of people ask me, well, how do I know when I'm present? Or what does it mean to be present? And I think people don't realize how often they are fully present and that that's what it feels like because they're searching for it, but they're almost already there. You know, when you start doing something and you fully immerse yourself in it, that's really all it is. You know, when you're having one of those really great conversations with someone and, you know, they don't always come very often, but they do come. And when you have this really great conversation with someone and you're fully immersed in the conversation and fully invested and committed to the other person that you're talking to, that's being present. It's not as complicated or far-fetched or really difficult to do as we think it is, but like you said in the beginning, it takes training yourself and slowing yourself down. It takes a little bit of awareness to really notice when you want to run for distraction, when you want to pick up that phone or, you know, doodle on the pad or whatever it is that, you know, is in front of you as a something else to do while you're doing this. Nothing wrong with one thing at a time.
Yeah. And I guess that really should be the measure too, you know, as I think about this, you know, the measure of the life that we're living, and another great way to introspect, you know, when, you know, we've this may be like something around our 300th show. And, you know, in all of our 300 shows, I've never had the urge to reach for the Doritos downstairs. I've never put down my microphone and been like, man, or like listening to you or having our conversation and been like, man, I really like some Doritos right now. You know, I'd really like to have a beer right now.
Well,
you know?
I'm glad for that.
Yeah. But, like, you know, and it's because this experience is above what that can provide. You know, when you, you know, hopefully in our lives, we, you know, enjoy intimacy with another person, you know, and in those moments of intimacy and even arousal, like how many times have you been like, hang on a second, I'm going to break this to go scroll my newsfeed, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like you don't even think about it when you're fully engaged in something and you're fully present, you know. But it's in those moments where we have this vague, we're unsure of what we want to be doing. We have some time and we feel like we can't commit to anything, and so then we just kind of reach for it, you know. And that instinct is becoming faster and faster and faster with each passing year as technology speeds up and as our access to the technology is like, I mean, when is a phone not in your pocket now?
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, all it takes is a second now.
Yeah.
A second of I'm not sure what I'm doing, reach for it.
Yep. And then when am I not, you know, at a place where people can connect with me and contact me and get in touch with me and call me and whatever. You know, in the old days when you went to the store with your kids and they lost you in the store, I mean, not little kids, I'm talking like teenagers and you got separated, you just walked up and down the aisles till you found each other. Yeah. Now you pick up the phone and you call them and say, where are you? So that's how the world is changing. But how do we stay balanced and grounded in a world that's changing so quickly and becoming so much more fast-paced than it ever has before? I think that's, you know, that's sort of the big question.
Yeah, it's really, really shiny.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm kind of glad you don't want to reach for a beer, because, no, but seriously, when you say that, this is kind of what I was speaking to before, is when you say that, I feel I have this feeling of warmth towards you, and a feeling of, you know, okay, he thinks I'm interesting enough to have a conversation with. He's interested in what I have to say. He's supporting me in this conversation, just like I'm supporting you in this conversation. So it does bring you to a place of feeling that connection, of feeling that presence of yourself and seeing it reflected in the other person. And that's really all we want to do, you know, not just you and I, but that's as human beings, that's really all we're looking for in life.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much of what we need, you know, that love, that connection, that validation, all of it is just, it comes forth in giving somebody your full attention and engagement.
Exactly.
Well, I know that we've blown past our time as we've been engaged in this conversation. And it would be wonderful, Bettina, if you could send us off into our day with a meditation.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. And as you breathe, bring yourself within to that place inside you that feels no age, no gender, no time, no space. And sit in the presence of that moment where you are all that you want to be, where you feel peace and love and safety and comfort. All these things can be found when we stop, when we slow down, and when we look inside to who we really are. Because in that space of who we really are, it doesn't matter about success or failure. It doesn't exist. It doesn't matter about the time of day because it doesn't exist. It doesn't matter about achieving goals or gaining success or feeling needing something in the world, because it all does not exist. Because everything that we are and that we need is within us. And if we go within, we will find everything that we're looking for, everything that we've been expecting the world to supply for us. It's all within us. It's all there for us to uncover and discover and live from. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
I love that you speak to in that, how the day doesn't exist and the time doesn't exist. It's just constructs we get seduced into. And sometimes the concept of a day serves us, and sometimes the concept of a day does not serve us.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you next.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.